Support for this podcast comes from Pluto TV. Need an escape? Drop into Pluto TV for a world of free TV. Stream hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and shows all for free. Yeah, free. No subscriptions, no fees. Imagine 24/7 channels of Narcos, CSI, Star Trek, Survivor, and everything else from hit movies to binge-worthy TV shows, the latest news, live sports, comedy, and more. What are you waiting for? Download the free Pluto TV app for Android, iPhone, Roku, and Fire TV and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.
This is a show about a team that started to grow a community. Wiggler and Jess, here till it ends. Meet up to Pastor Dale Greendale with all of our friends. The brightest timeline's here to shine away. Community building is here to stay.
Yeah, that's right, everybody. It's another episode of Community Building here on Post Show Recaps, talking about Season 1, Episode 5, Advanced Criminal Law. I'm Josh Wiggler. I came to this podcast with this tiniest of little cheat sheets. That's the episodes of Community that I've already seen that I'm referencing for all of my Community takes as they are developing. I'm joined here by someone who would never cheat on a test, Jess Sterling. Jess, have you ever cheated on a test before?
Of course not. No,
yeah,
right? I could not. I mean, I think the anxiety alone, there's like a famous story of me in middle school where I forgot that we had like a quiz coming that day. And I was so nervous about it that I actually got myself ill and I had to go to the nurse because I was so terrified that I was going to fail it.
Oh my God. I one time, oddly enough, cheated in Spanish.
There you go.
Eighth grade. I went to my Spanish teacher feeling very, very guilty about what I had done. I drew like a little glossary on my shoe so that I could like look down at my foot to consult the glossary. And I walked into class and I said, "Senora, I'm so sorry. I did this." She goes, "It's okay."
She didn't even care?
No, she was very kind about it. I think she sensed my guilt and just sort of let it go. And then I proceeded to, you know, use the foot glossary anyway. There you go. And I passed the test. So what did we learn here today?
Cheating is good.
That's Navi, everybody, joining us on the podcast.
Navi.
Navi, welcome to Community Building, my friend.
Thank you for having me on. I'm excited to chat about this episode. I think we have some differing opinions, so I'm happy to get right into it.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time. I think there's some context that I'm going to need to set up for this episode.
Oh boy.
So here's the context. We record these podcasts on a Saturday, is when we record. We release them on Saturdays for the patrons of Post Show Recaps. If you'd like to become one, patreon.com/postshowrecaps. You can get these episodes early. You can watch us do them live. Very cool perks. But it's important to set up when this is because this podcast doesn't come out until Tuesdays for people who are not patrons of Post Show Recaps. And so on this particular Saturday, it is the day after the Friday that at the WandaVision finale came out. And for my incredible job at Inverse.com, I was awake at 3 a.m. when WandaVision dropped its final episode, running already at that point on roughly 4 hours of sleep. After a full day of working, 4 hours of sleep, hopped into the WandaVision stuff. My choice, voluntary. You know, we want to really get into it and we want to get going on WandaVision. So that's what happened. Proceed to have a full day that includes, I was in a video game fantasy league draft on this particular Friday. I think my team is pretty good. We could talk about that another time. But then we played Dungeons and Dragons for about 4.5 hours last night, Jess Sterling. Which was super, super fun. But oh my God, maybe a difficult choice as far as coming into this podcast with anything resembling coherency I think that that may be out the window for me today.
I think that's fine. I think community doesn't require like 100% of coherentness.
Coherent thought? Yes. Navi, does community require coherent thought?
No, I think you're fine just as is. If anything, your takes would make more sense without the coherency.
Without the coherency?
Yeah. The thing is like, this show is not dark. Speaking as someone who's in the middle of watching Dark, this is not that show.
It can get pretty dark.
Yes, but not to the level where it's like, I need a map and a guideline and help.
Right. Yeah, it's fairly straightforward. But I want to set all of that up because like, I don't necessarily know strongly how I feel about this episode of Community. I think maybe my hot take coming into Advanced Criminal Law is that this is short of the season 4 episode that you made me watch, Jess. This may be my least favorite episode of Community I've encountered so far.
Yeah. I'm not surprised by that. I kind of was like very meh.
I feel like it's, and I'm not mad at it. I don't hate it. Definitely not. Like there are things that I enjoyed. Everything with Troy and Abed killed me. I really like that. I actually kind of really enjoyed Chevy Chase's stupid music antics this week. Mm-hmm. I thought were kind of hilarious. But the Jeff and Britta storyline missed me with that. I didn't care for it at all.
The thing that like kind of was a weird thing I heard on this was I was listening to the commentary and Dan Harmon was saying that the whole point for the first 6 episodes was they wanted to focus on kind of like one character per episode. I mean, to which I would say you have 7 characters, but I don't really, this was supposed to be like the Britta episode. And I guess Spanish 101 is the Pierce episode. Intro to Film, I would assume, is the Abed episode. But like, I don't know. I feel like every episode in these first couple is very Jeff Britta focused. So I don't really understand what they were going for necessarily here. It's fine. I mean, it's a decent episode. It's a meh episode, in my opinion.
Yeah. Navi, what do you make of this? Because you said you were ready to come in with very different takes than perhaps mine, because I didn't know how to feel about this one.
Yeah, so I actually really enjoyed this episode. My sort of history with Community is that I was on when I was in high school. I believe season 3 was in 2011. So I kind of started watching from season 3 and then I went back and watched season 1 and 2. And then I just followed the run all the way until 2015 was when I graduated high school. So Community has always been like I always associate with high school, but I haven't revisited it since. So when the post-show recaps announced that they're doing a Patreon exclusive sort of tier for Community building, I was like, oh, I guess I'll just wait for them to drop that because I was planning on doing a Community rewatch anyway. And revisiting these episodes, I found that I liked them a lot more with time pass, with a lot of the time that has passed since then. I think my main gripe with Community was always like the later seasons. I found that seasons 4, 5, and 6 were kind of like a dip in quality, similar to The Office, where I thought that the first 3 seasons are like untouchable. And then from season 4 onward, it was like kind of a mess. Yeah. But yeah, I actually really enjoyed this episode.
This is still like kind of like golden era Community for you.
It is for me, for sure. And I'm excited to sort of talk my process as to why I like the episode so much. I'm worried of what it will reveal about me as a person.
Well, I'm excited for that.
But yeah, we can get right into it.
Well, before we do, I do just want to shout out the great podcast known as Wombat Water that Jess Sterling is a part of. The great Corey B, who does our music for this, is a piece of. And in fact, both Navi and I are at least embedded, engraved in the hallowed historical hallways of Wombat Water because we appeared on Wombat Water's pizza podcast. And just Wombat Water, y'all rank things. They do like crazy games in which you rank like seltzers and
We like to draft items and then like debate what is the best thing of all of the things.
Right. And so Navi and I were on the pizza episode. And very early on, Navi, we formed a final two alliance called the Garlic Knot Alliance.
Yes. First alliance in Wombat Water history, I believe.
That's right. Yes.
We're game changers in that sense.
Yeah, we really did meta game the Wombat Water pizza episode. which ultimately was to my detriment, as Navi's pizza that I believe had chicken, peppers, and I forget the other topping.
Jalapenos.
Jalapenos, of course, defeated my attempt at rehabilitating the Hawaiian pizza. It had bacon, pineapple, and banana peppers on it. We had to draft toppings. This was not a choice. So if anyone's like, ah, it's like we also like had to like draft like nuclear option toppings, I believe was part of it. You have to have some bad toppings on there. And Navi ultimately won. But I do believe, just to give myself a moment here, Jess, that there were people who were really squeamish about the idea of the Hawaiian pizza to start with. And then they ate it. The one that the Emily's Hawaiian is what I named it. I think some people walked away from me and be like, oh, this is actually so much better than I thought.
Yeah, I was one of those people. I voted for your pizza to win. I don't like pineapple, honestly, but on the pizza, it was good. I thought that it was a good pizza.
Yeah.
And I ate the whole thing. I voted for it.
Yeah. So. And I was very happy for your success, Navi, even though I was a little ashamed that pizza fan, number one pizza fanboy, Josh Wiggler, lost in the pizza contest, but couldn't have happened to a better winner. And it also began our friendship, which mostly since then has subsisted of Final Fantasy memes.
Yeah, Final Fantasy memes. I remember last week, Jeff said that we had beef, and then you were like, no, we don't. We had a bit of a beef regarding the Seeds Baby thing on Twitter, but aside from that, we were like, fine. Because you were very anti-Seeds Baby. And I was like, how could you? And then you flipped the script so quickly. And I'm like, make up your mind. Don't be a Fencerton. Just pick a side. Either you're pro Seeds Baby or you're not.
Yeah.
And so that was the whole thing.
I often find myself, it depends on the day. And I think that that's sort of where I'm at here with this episode of Community, where like I've just quickly gone through with my Meow Meow Beans because I didn't fill out my Meow Meow Beans before the podcast started, which Jess, I'm sure was not great.
I mean, process. I'm not a fan of that for myself.
Correct. I still don't feel super set in them. I'm looking at them right now. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know that this is right. Like, I feel like I have everybody a little bit higher than I want them to be. I may dock them all a full point. I think that this was just, I don't know if it's due to exhaustion or if this is just like sort of like a totally fine episode of Community and not really much more. That's sort of my feeling heading into, and perhaps because I set myself up for some measure of failure, Navi, I thought this would be like a Law and Order style episode of Community, but it was not that.
No, I think it wasn't, but
go ahead, Nami.
Oh, go. Oh, I was gonna say, no, it isn't, but I still think there are great things to glean from the episode. I'm mainly just a fan of the absurdity of this whole thing. So yeah, I'm excited to get into it. Jess, go ahead.
I was just going to say that, like, I think that this isn't really like a breakout episode for any particular character. And so then I do think it's a bit tougher, especially when you have people like Shirley, who are fairly invisible. Even like Annie has like a moment in the spotlight. But there are some characters that just don't have their best showings, and it's not like they're bad, but they're also not great. So I think you kind of just end up in that meh territory.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's explore. Let's dive into this Olympic sized meh. We have Olympic grade meh, and at least the episode for me does begin wonderfully. If we want to hop into the episode proper, Jess, if you want to start leading us through the recap.
Yes. So we're on Greendale campus. We have another announcement from the dean, which they're always great.
Good morning, Greendale Community College. This is your dean. It's Luis Guzman Day.
Yes. He's a prestigious alumni, Mr. Luis Guzman. They're going to dedicate a statue of Guzman and unveiling our brand new school song. So boy, I don't know about you, but this sure sounds like a real college to me.
The dean is very intent on selling that Greendale is a real college, a university style college. I think that this was actually my... this is probably the episode that got me the closest to understanding the dean hype so far, I think. I love the dean in this one. This is going to be a very easy Dean Gets the Dean's List point for me this week.
Yeah, the dean, and you get your first, we'll get into it later, but you get your first impetus of dean you later, I think is what he says.
Yeah, he does.
We do see that later.
Dean you later.
So in the hallway, Professor Duncan approaches Jeff and asks how student life is treating him. Duncan asks Jeff about Britta. He asks if Britta and Jeff are an item. Duncan says he'll wait until Jeff is done striking out. And then they have the whole exchange of Jeff says cheers, Abed says mash, and Duncan says faulty towers.
I'm glad that you wrote this out for me because I didn't understand that.
Oh, you didn't understand the joke?
It happened so fast
that
I didn't understand what was going on, that they were just naming television shows to each other.
Sitcoms, yeah.
Yeah. Does this happen a lot? Is this how people like say hello and goodbye to each other in the world of Community?
I mean, no, people say cheers, and then Abed's just walking by, so of course he's going to say another show, because he's Abed.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, Duncan says Fawlty Towers, I don't know.
I've never watched Fawlty Towers.
I haven't.
Navi, have you done Fawlty Towers?
No, I haven't. I have no idea what it is. Maybe
British
I need
sitcom.
To...
It's John Cleese.
Ooh. Yeah. Then maybe I should check it out. I like his other work.
Yeah, John Cleese's Fawlty Towers... takes place in it's a hotel in the seaside town on the English Riviera. I believe that I researched this once, not terribly long ago, and I don't remember what for, but I definitely did within the last 4 years, I did a Fawlty Towers research project, but I don't remember what for, and I don't remember any of the research, but this is ringing a bell.
That's good to know.
Maybe the deeper we get into the podcast, the more the sense memory will unlock all of the secret Fawlty Towers knowledge that is...
I can't wait for you to hit us with that Fawlty Towers knowledge. It's going to be great.
This could be a faulty memory. I don't know. I don't remember. All right, Spanish class.
Yes.
Is tower building.
Yes. Tower building.
Yes, tower building. We're in Spanish class. Abed and Troy are entering, and Abed and Troy are talking about Luis Guzman potentially visiting the campus. Abed wants to ask him about his movie choices. Troy says sarcastically that Guzman is on a private plane just to come here and talk about that with Abed. Abed, of course, believes him, not understanding sarcasm. And Troy tells Abed that he's Obama's nephew and that he invented the Ferrari.
Yeah, that's cool. I didn't realize that about Troy. These are fairly big character notes that are being revealed here 5 episodes into Community. And I think Jesse did a great job when we did the season zero, where we watched a bunch of episodes of Community that you cherry picked the episodes, that you picked episodes that obscured the fact that Troy is President Obama's nephew and invented Ferrari from me. Because I had no idea. This is one of those spoilers from the show that I didn't know until we encountered it today.
This is one of the big spoilers I was worried about you finding out before we got to it. So I'm happy that no one told you.
Yeah. Navi, I imagine this is like a really instrumental part of Troy's story arc.
Oh, yes, definitely. All the twists and turns, you get into like the deep sorrow that he feels having to burden all of that. So I'm excited for you to get more into that as you go along.
I imagine it's very emotional. And I imagine that our listeners can detect sarcasm just a little bit better than Abed. This is a joke. Obviously, it's a joke. It's a bit. You bit.
A bit.
You bit.
Gotcha.
We got you. Yeah. Yeah.
We move over to Jeff and Britta. Jeff tells Britta he just found out that the number that she put on the study group contact sheet was a fake because he's been talking to a guy from Boulder for a month. Britta says she...
Will we ever meet that guy? I hope so.
That would be great. There is another situation, though, where there is a bit of catfishing, which is much funnier than this exchange. So okay. I'll tease you with that.
Okay, cool.
Britta says she will give him her phone number if he promises to only use it for friendship. And he says pass.
Pass. No, he's still not ready to be just friends.
No, not yet. He's still
holding out hope. He wishes to be more. More.
Professor Chang interrupts everybody. He tells everybody to be quiet. That means you, Starburns.
And this is how we get the origin of Starburns, huh? Or have you already said Starburns at this point?
He said Starburns before, this is when we find out that Starburns' name is Alex. Yeah. My name's Alex.
Yeah.
He's like, maybe you should have chiseled that into your face.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's great. My name is Alex would probably be... I think, Navi, harder to upkeep in the sideburns realm if you had sideburns that said, my name is Alex, and like sort of the technical proficiency that would be required to make that really both clear but also regularly manicured so that your sideburns are constantly letting people know what your name is.
Yeah, not really expensive. I imagine you'd have to get so many like electric razors just to get the right thing.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Would you maybe easier to shave your head?
What do I think of starburns?
Would you rock the starburns?
Would I rock the starburns? Maybe if I could. I can't. I genetically cannot. Perhaps someday when I am a real man, I'll be able to. As it currently stands, not yet.
Not a real boy.
Mm-hmm. But I think like my father didn't develop the ability to like grow a real, real beard until he was like 50. So like I still got some time.
You're still holding out.
Yeah. So I think like when I'm in my 50s, I may be rocking some 50-year-old starburns.
I mean, at the very least, like your eyebrows never stop like growing. So yeah. I just feel like maybe eventually someone could like shave into your eyebrows.
Yeah. Oh, I
should get the Gramps eyebrows. Oh, you know, like
yeah. You get like some of those like
Eugene Levy style,
like Sam Waterston sideburns. Yeah, that's a good idea. I think yeah, something with that. Professor Chang is upset.
He's horrible.
He's learned something that is very difficult for him to process right now.
He found a tiny, tiny piece of paper. Also a very common GIF.
Yes, I've seen this before.
And it's a crib sheet. It's a cheat sheet. Yeah. He wants to know who did it. He goes around the room. He said, Marianne, who's Annie, Grandpa, which is Pierce, Jack Kay, which is Shirley, and Kumar, which is Abed. All of these are bad things to say.
They're not great.
Not a good thing to say.
They're not good.
And he says, whomever did it has 24 hours to come forward. And if they don't, the entire class will get a cero.
A cero.
Zero.
That's zero. Yeah, I remember because I wrote that down on my shoe glossary back in the day. I think I knew that.
If you needed to write down that cero was zero, Josh.
I didn't. Don't worry. This is a big threat to the safety of everybody's scores in Spanish, their grades in Spanish, I should say.
And I have a question for you, Josh. Who did you think did it when you were watching this? Did you have an idea?
Here's what I thought was going to happen. I thought what was going to happen was we were going to get an episode in which like everybody then starts debating who's the cheater, rather than it very cleanly, very quickly becoming Britta did it.
So you thought it was going to be more like the calligraphy,
sort of where I thought it was going. But I definitely didn't. I mean, like, I think if like I could go back in time and like think about like who would have been the interesting person to do an episode about like they cheated. I guess at this point in the series, it makes sense that they're going to like, you know, get Jeff and Britta into this storyline together where like he demonstrates like some actual like caring for her and value and like actual like some ability as a lawyer. But I don't know. I think at this point it's kind of seeing this happen with Britta almost for me feels like I really don't care for Britta that much in this episode is a problem that I'm having because I do love Elliot Jacobs and I really have been feeling that like from the like the early Britta stuff to the later Britta stuff and that like that transition that I've seen and heard about that I definitely prefer, at least in my mind, I'd prefer to the earlier stuff. But this feels like sort of like, I don't know, like some groundwork for them not taking Britta seriously later on. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's definitely, I can definitely see that happening. Like they set up Britta here to be somebody who is afraid to succeed, which I do think is very accurate to early season Britta. But they also, I mean, they constantly make digs at her name being ridiculous. It's Britta. Right. And, you know, they do poke fun at her a lot. And I think it does kind of start with the Vaughn episode, last episode. I think that's kind of where we start to see the transition. In my mind, it happened much later. But I do think by end of season one, we are kind of looking at a maybe a slightly different Britta.
Yeah. Navi, did you have strong feelings on who you thought was the cheater the first time you watched this episode?
The first time I watched it, I thought it was Starburns because I'm like, why else would they point him out?
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. Yeah.
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 That would have been fun. That would have been a twist.
That would have been a good twist. Yeah.
He like, just carved the answers in.
Yeah. Ooh, that's a good idea.
Except he can't see it. It's only good for like the person sitting next to him.
Yeah.
So we're back at the study room. Troy says the only difference between Chang and Stalin is he knows who Chang is. Yeah. Shirley complains about him calling her Jack K, like a black female stereotype. And of course, then she says, if the good Lord wouldn't have been watching, I would have slapped him upside the head.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody thinks it's Jeff who cheated, but Jeff says it wasn't a real cheater, just someone who's insecure and naive, which they all look at Annie.
Yeah,
and he says, I may be naive, not stupid.
Yeah, everybody just like has like rapid fire stuff here. What does Troy say? I may be stupid, but I'm not trying to look like I'm not.
Yeah, and they look at Pierce, who says, well, I may be a genius, but I'm not a lesbian.
Yeah.
And he looks at Britta. He's like not even listening.
Yeah.
And this is when we get classic Annie saying she can't handle the stress because not only does she have this this test to worry about, but she's on the school song committee.
Yeah, she has to write the song, Navi, for Luis Guzman.
Oh, wow. And I like how she's like, yeah, it's not even me who's writing it. I'm just going to hire someone to write it for me. I'm like, then why volunteer for this then?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is like early Annie being involved in everything to do with Greendale and being like very proud of it. This happens a lot. And then, of course, Pierce is like, well, you have an accomplished musician and pianist sitting right in front of you. I wrote the jingle for Hawthorne Moist Towelettes.
I love the jingle for Hawthorne Moist Towelettes, by the way. Yeah, it's possible that in the final Meow Meow Beans for me, it's possible that Pierce could be my MVP.
Okay.
Just for that. I do love the Hawthorne theme song. It's really funny.
And this is when Abed jumps in and says that Troy should help because he invented rap music, is related to Danny Glover and President Obama. And Troy tells Abed that he was just messing with him. Abed asked if Troy was lying. And Troy explains, like, oh, messing with you is a joke. And Abed doesn't really understand the concept. And he says, this isn't a desk. Ah, that's funny. And Jeff is like, remember when we used to study Spanish here? That's over with now.
Yeah, that doesn't seem to... Is that going to come back? Are they ever really going to study Spanish again?
I mean, sometimes.
Yeah.
But it's not really fun to watch people study, so...
Yeah.
No.
No, not typically.
I will say that Shirley had a line here, but towards the end of that scene where she's like, Abed, I didn't know you were racist. I was telling all the people in my church you were a sweet caramel angel.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
I just felt that we needed to point that out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not a great Shirley episode. Because, like, she's either not in it or the content's not fantastic.
Yeah, she's not around. And when she is, it's like, eh.
Yeah.
But we're back in the cafeteria. Annie is approaching Pierce. And she talked to the dean. And he said that Pierce could help write the school song. It's due by Friday. So she's super excited about this. I feel like she should have maybe known. Maybe it's too early, but like she probably should have known better. I don't know. Should she know better by now? Not
to recruit Pierce?
Yes.
It's still early, I think.
Yeah, maybe it's too early.
I think it's still a little too early to know.
Yeah, she's also like naive and trusting, so I can see why she would think that Pierce would really be helpful here.
Yeah.
We're back in Spanish class. Chang says this is the last time for the cheater to face La Musica or everyone fails. He gives everyone 10 seconds to come forward. Annie screams no, turns like she actually turns red, like her skin turns red. Mm-hmm. And Britta says she did it. Says, how dare you for threatening the entire class's grade? She says it's not easy for people to get people to turn on one another. And immediately Chang gets the class to turn on her.
I love that line from Chang, though. Turn on her.
And they all pelt her with paper balls.
Turn on her. That's a good moment. That's good. I like it.
Yeah. Britta leaves and Chang calls her a cheating, lying poop face.
Yeah. He's upset. I don't know. It's probably not the nicest thing to call someone. maybe it could be a little worse. I don't know. It's not great.
It's not great. It's just like cheating not, I don't know. It's not very funny either. I mean,
cheating, it's a different reaction than what I got when I cheated in Spanish class. I'll tell you that much. Yeah.
You mean you weren't called a cheating, lying poop face?
No, she's like, she said, I believe because my name in Spanish class was Julio. I believe her exact response was, okay, Julio. That was it. And she kind of just let it go.
That was it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did everybody. I had a name in Spanish class too. I wonder if that was like a thing that everybody had in Spanish class where you were given like a Spanish name instead.
Yeah, I don't know. It was in my school. Everyone had a different, I had a friend. My friend Ben was Bernardo. I remember.
Oh, that's fun. I was Ines.
Yeah. Yeah. I was Julio.
Navi, did you take Spanish in school?
No, but I live in Canada, so we were required to take French for like a certain period, but we were never given French names. They're just like, remember these things. And I haven't.
It's a deeply American thing of like, here, take a, you know, take Spanish class and here's your Spanish name. It's like, when I think back on this.
Yeah.
I have some thoughts and questions.
For sure.
I have a couple of questions about this, but that's a very different podcast.
When I took Spanish in sixth grade was when we started it. Like, our teacher quit. So then we just had like different teachers like every couple of months for the rest of the semester. And one of my teachers didn't, I honestly don't think she cared at all. And she just said, we're going to have a fiesta today to celebrate life. And this was like once a week. We had a fiesta to celebrate life.
Life fiesta.
Wow. This life fiesta.
Yeah, cool. That's very Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, so everyone's turned on Britta. And even Jeff is like, wow, I can't believe you were the cheater.
Yeah, Jeff now thinks he's better than Britta because he gave like coins to a dirty bum or something, as he says. The dean approaches and says he's not going to buy her an ice cream. He says Greendale takes cheating very seriously, much like a university would. He says the case will face a tribunal tomorrow. Turns out the hall is also by the pool at the $6,000 judge's table. And Jeff asks if she can have representation. Dean says yes and leaves with a dean-ya later.
Later. Yeah, so Jeff's going to be Britta's lawyer through this. He is this, Navi, is this out of the goodness of his heart, would you say, or is this still Jeff with an agenda?
Oh, it's totally Jeff with an agenda. He just wants to score.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's a mixed bag. I think it can be both.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it may be a mixed bag, but definitely leaning towards just wants to score.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could be like, I think it's like 60-40.
Yeah.
But Britta doesn't want to sit in front of a hokey tribunal that gets its jollies judging her. Mm-hmm. Jeff says that she'll walk because it's the winger guarantee. And obviously Britta thinks he's using this to get into her pants.
Yeah, and I think we do as well, at least to some degree. Yeah.
So we're back in the study room. Abed approaches Troy and asks if he heard all dogs are blue now. And then Abed laughs. Troy tells him he cannot be got because he's not gullible. And secondly, Abed isn't good at this because he's not believable in his face.
His face is bad at selling the believability.
Yeah, that line was great. Your face, it's bad.
Well, you know, I don't know if his face is bad for selling a joke. It's just that I think that Troy is kind of next level at this. You know, Troy sells sarcasm very, very well.
I think, Navi, correct me if I'm wrong, but like, I feel like if we moved this episode into like season 2 or 3, Troy fully is hoodwinked by Abed and believes him.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I think season 1 is where Troy still has that, you know, suave, as some may say, sort of aspect to his personality. So I think this is also sort of the beginning of Troy maybe not being as, you know, cool as we thought he was, so to speak.
Yeah.
Yeah, they definitely dumb Troy down a bit in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Abed is taking notes, but it's weird symbols, which Troy sees. Troy asks what language it is, and Abed said, it's probably Arabic,
probably, and he runs Arabic. Away. He runs away, but like the penmanship is remarkable on this language that he's crafting. Like this complete invention of fiction is really amazing. And I was at this moment, this is where I probably leaned in the most, where I was like, what is going on?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is Abed doing?
And the noises too. The like.
Yeah. So he's like trying to. His version of sarcasm is convincing Troy that he's an alien.
Right.
Is very funny.
It's very Abed, like going for like the long con, you know? Yes. He's all about the long con.
Loves
he's quite the Sawyer.
Con. Yep.
So we're at the disciplinary tribunal. The dean begins by talking about how fancy the table is with a built-in sound system. He will be a judge alongside Professor Duncan and Professor Chang. Duncan corrects him and says he's a teacher, not a professor. Chang calls Duncan Ron Weasley. Jeff asks how Senior Chang can be on the council because he's accusing Britta of the crime. And Chang says that Duncan is Jeff's drinking buddy. So Dean says, since there's biases both ways, he swings both ways and asks LaShonda to strike that from the record.
Strike that from the record. I just love this like tribunal taking place in front of the incredibly vast pool.
The Olympic sized pool a university would have.
In fairness, this is like a university grade pool, Navi. Like, this is a very impressive pool.
It is. It's probably nicer than the pool my university has. So
yeah.
I do like how they're having this tribunal closed. Usually with these academic tribunals, they usually happen like in a closed like office space or like a boardroom or something. I like how they're just having it out in the open where people can obviously hear Britta's alleged crimes and all this. I think it's very on brand for this school to have it like just in the middle of everyone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I love how it's like mostly like elderly people swimming as well. Just like midday swim. And so Duncan asked Chang the events of yesterday. Chang goes over like his entire day with like his bare leg showing, which was just very strange. And what a choice.
I love
and a
that.
Man is
not so much.
It was like, why do we need to see his leg? I don't know, but it's a great character touch.
I'm still in the place where I think Ken Jeong is great. He's just got like, I don't know. His flourishes are really amazing to me. And that moment where he just like kind of like kicks up the leg had me howling this morning. I thought it was great.
It's just, it's not even that he pulls up the pant leg a little bit. It's like his entire like knee down is out.
Mm-hmm.
he's pulling a Josh Wiggler and you know, one leg out, one leg in.
Does he have one shoe on, one shoe off?
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if he just like went down and sat by the pool and like put a leg in, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I kind of love him. Certainly so far. And in this episode, even if, when he's horrible, I think that he's very, this is like what I talk about on Down the Hatch when I like give props to like the others every once in a while. It's like, but they're very excellent at being awful. I think that's mm-hmm. Chang for me to a certain degree.
Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah.
We're back in the music room. Pierce is trying to come up with a song. He starts with Greendale Isn't a Slop Pail, which is a choice. Annie walks in and Pierce tells Annie he has a song that will make the devil poop God's pants, which I laughed. I don't know why that's like a thing, but it cracked me up.
How did the devil get into God's pants, do we think, Navi? Is there a long and winding tale that brought us there?
I believe it is. I think it has something to do with the takeout that Pierce has scattered around.
Yeah. instruments. Yeah. Yeah.
Make the devil poop God's pants.
The devil and Pierce teamed up they answered God's Domino's delivery call. And when they went over to deliver the pizza, they stole God's pants. And they thought it was hilarious, and they celebrated. And then later that night, while the devil was wearing God's pants, bad things happened.
Mm-hmm.
That's
too much Taco Bell.
Too much, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And he wants to hear what Pierce has so far. Pierce plays a single note and says it will end with the note, and then he plays another note, and he has nothing. Annie says that his sheet music is a Chinese takeout menu. Pierce starts singing about Chinese food.
What does he say about the squab and butter lettuce or something like that?
Yeah. It was ridiculous.
Like such a specific call out. That is, yeah, like the squab with lettuce. I don't know that I've ever seen that on a menu before, but all right.
He was into it, I guess.
Yeah, cool.
He asks Annie to leave and he starts playing her out and he starts like playing faster and faster to make her walk faster and faster out of the room. She's like, she's obviously, I think she's starting to like regret her decision to recruit Pierce because she's, and I think a lot's riding on this for her. Like her reputation is at stake for someone who gets something done, you know?
Yes, yes. So at the pool, it's gotten really weird, very contentious and strange in here.
Yeah. Chang finishes telling his story, and says Britta stormed out of the room like it was tampon time, if you know what I mean. And these are the reasons I hate Chang. Like we talk about me hating Chang and the things that he says like this.
The things he says are not great. They aren't. They're not good.
Like it was, Jeff objects because he doesn't know what that means. Jeff calls Britta to the stand. Dean asks about Britta's boots and says they're cute.
Yeah.
Jeff asks if she made the crib sheet. She says no. Jeff says Britta confessed because Chang threatened to fail the entire class. Duncan is shocked and Chang tells him to shut his pompous vortex of overlapping fangs.
Wow.
Which... that's a rough one.
Yeah, that's harsh. That's tough.
It's a sick burn, bro.
Yeah. Jeff wants this thrown out. This is too much. This shouldn't be a trial anymore. Mistrial.
Yes. And Dean says the only crime is being a hero and wanting to be taller.
I'm guilty of that every day. Yeah.
Yes. And there was like a thing in the DVD commentary where apparently Dan Harmon was like against having Britta wear heels because he thought it was like against her character where she's too honest to want to lie about her height or some nonsense like that. Very strange. Britta wears these boots a lot. So I just feel like it's like part of her character. It's like her like fake leather jacket, you know, it's just like a part of her.
Yeah.
Britta confesses. Jeff tries to bring up September 11th. And at which point they ask for a recess. Dean is denying it when everyone gets splashed from a nearby dive and they exit so as not to ruin the $6,000 table.
Yeah. So Britta is like, Britta has the maneuverability to get out of this, but she doesn't want to.
Yeah, she's like...
she wants to own this.
She wants to be honest, which is funny considering she cheated. But, like, I think that this is the point where she just realizes she's kind of in over her head, Navi, and she's just like, I got to find a way. I got to find a way out of this.
Yeah, and it's sort of interesting to see a bit about her, I guess, frame of mind and how she sort of operates as a person and how there's a lot of contradictions within her character. We saw it a little bit earlier on with the protests and the Vaughn of it all, and we're going to continue to see it over the course of the series, perhaps to like her detriment of her character. Like you've both talked about how like Britta's character kind of goes downhill towards the end of the series. Mm-hmm. It was the sweet moment, I guess, for to see her owning up to it and have this realization, I guess.
Yeah, I think for me, I'm just like, at this point, you've already gone through so much. You might as well just continue lying to get away with it, right? Like, you've already gone there. You're 90%
of the
way.
She's like sort of like wobbly writing on her in this episode. Like, I think that that's the biggest issue. Nothing with Gillian Jacobs. She's fantastic. She's doing the best she can with what she's given. I just don't think she's given great stuff.
Yeah, we'll get into the conversation with Jeff later because I think that's where they attempt to turn it around. We're back to Troy and Abed. Abed's hiding behind a bush, speaking into his sweatshirt, making weird noises as Troy walks by. He's obviously talking about Troy. And Abed acts surprised to see Troy. Troy says he knows Abed's trying to mess with him. Abed confesses.
You caught me.
And says, you caught me. Abed runs and does the again.
Yep.
I will say, he like jumps over the bench and like hits his shin on it. I'm like, how is that not painful? Like, was that intentional? Was that on accident? Did they just go with that take anyway?
Yeah, I wonder if like they just left it in and Danny Pudi was just like tolerating the pain. And then after they call cut, he's like, my shin!
Yeah, because he has like tiny legs too. Yeah. So that probably really did hurt.
Does he have tiny legs? I've never noticed.
Oh my gosh, yeah. They're like little stilts, like little chopsticks.
I didn't know that.
Like tiny legs.
Oh, wow. Cool.
We're back in the locker. We're in the locker room now. Chang and Duncan are fighting. Duncan asks if they can have the conversation in a room with less balls. As the man is taking a shower next to them, he says, "I'll give it to you. You're very confident.
Very confident."
This had me cracking up. Yeah. I don't know why. It's just something about Duncan, like staring at this man, like, "You are very confident." Well,
John Oliver's delivery is just always great. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now we're to the scene I was mentioning. So Jeff is asking Britta, like, what is she doing? She says she has a problem with dishonesty.
Yeah.
And he says she's on trial for cheating. He says they can figure this out. And he's only doing this because he wants to sleep with her.
You don't want to be my friend. You just want to sleep with me.
Yeah. And he says he wouldn't be here if he didn't already like her because he's so handsome that like he could get any girl. Right. And
he's just like, look at this face. Yeah. Just look at how good it looks.
Yeah, he doesn't have a bad face, unlike Abed.
Yeah.
Britta says she believes him. She says she has, this is kind of where we get into it, where she has more experience being worthless. She thinks she left the crib sheet on the floor on purpose because she wanted to get caught. She's so used to screwing things up that she thinks that she might as well just screw it up here before she screws it up later. So she's kind of just like reverting back to old tendencies.
Right. And so this is Navi where Jeff gets the brilliant idea of declaring insanity.
yeah. I like that. That's the big takeaway from this. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, my client is insane. That was a good, like, commercial break. I was a little disappointed in the follow through. That was just sort of like, you know, kind of like classic, like, ooh, ah, like sappy end of sitcom episode type material. But I thought that like the pivot to like his like takeaway from like this honest conversation that she's insane, I thought was a really funny gag.
Yeah, what do you get out of this conversation with Jeff and Britta where like I do think that while I don't really like a lot of this episode, like again, it just kind of falls flat for me. I do think this tracks with Britta being someone who's constantly screwed up so many times that she just feels like she's doomed to fail anyway. So she might as well kind of self-sabotage. Like, do you feel that tracks with Britta?
I think it for sure tracks with the Britta that we've gotten to know so far in the series. I think that we'll get into it more later on with like her family life and all that and sort of how that informs her as an individual. I do agree with Josh that I think the writers kind of dropped the ball on her character in this episode in a sense because she does just kind of give up. I think that, however, the way I interpreted it was that she was just tired and like didn't want to go on with this any longer and just want to, okay, like just give me my punishment. Like the jig's up, like just get this over with. That was always my interpretation of this scene.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Jeff claims that she's insane. She doesn't want to succeed because she doesn't think she can. She goes out of her way to fail. Do we really want to make it a crime to be crazy at Greendale? Everyone on this campus is nuts. Leonard yells. This is our first introduction to Leonard. Yeah. He yells, mm-hmm. Not me. Jeff says, if you want to argue with me, put on a swimsuit.
And busted.
Busted and he swims away.
Yeah. Great introduction to Leonard.
Yeah, I love Leonard. I can't wait till we see more of him in the future.
Hopefully not too much more.
Yeah. Jeff says, if crazy people can't be at Greendale, where are we supposed to go? Chang is crying. Duncan recommends exoneration pending weekly counseling with himself. And they all agree. And Britta is upset because now she has to see Duncan every week.
Yes, that's him making his highly inappropriate move, I assume.
Of course.
Yeah.
We're back to Troy and Abed. Troy's walking by when he hears weird noises coming from a room. He sees Abed talking to a TV with himself.
This is wild. This is really, really, really wild.
Yeah. I love the hand movements too. Like this cracked me up.
Yeah.
And Troy comes in and he's like, just stop it. Stop it enough already. And he's like, I know you're not an alien. Abed says, I'm not an alien. And he laughs. Troy says, this is insane. It would be less creepy if you were an alien. Abed said, this is what friends do. And Troy says, no. He says, from now on, like friends don't mess with each other. They do the handshake. I think this is the first instance of the handshake.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think we've talked about it. And Josh, you know the handshake by now, the Troy and Ovid.
Oh yeah, like the tap tap. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, iconic. First time we see it here. And Garrett runs in an alien costume. Ovid tells him it's over, and Troy knows. Troy said that was sloppy, and Ovid said they went over budget.
Yep. Or budge.
I like how he exits like boo doo 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 boo.
Yeah. Yeah, Garrett.
Garrett in the costume really was amazing.
That
was,
yeah.
Yeah.
Garrett's another iconic side character. We're getting to the point where they're starting to crop up a bit more. And I just find it fun because it's like they're always around. So it's kind of fun to see what people are doing in the background. And maybe they'll have like a one-off line. But we're getting into that point now in the show.
He's had a couple of really funny appearances in a row by now.
Garrett, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, he's a good one.
Yeah.
Especially I'm thinking like there's a point in the final season he has a particularly very funny moment. Yeah. We're back in the music room. Pierce is asleep at the piano with papers strewn about around him. He wakes suddenly and has a realization. He plays Twinkle Twinkle Little Star with the word Greendale and starts crying.
It's not enough.
He tells Annie he's a fraud. Annie asks about the Hawthorne Wipes jingle, and he starts playing the piano to "She'll Be Coming Around the Mountain."
Something about wiping your hands.
Yeah, Hawthorne Wipes.
When you have too much Dijon mustard.
Yeah. My favorite is the way it ends. He's like, "You'll be wiping some of the with their wipes, Hawthorne Wipes," and Hawthorne then he goes wipes. At the picnic.
Yeah. 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 Chevy Chase is great here. Chevy Chase is very good here, mm-hmm. I think.
Annie tells Pierce she believes in him. She tells Pierce what her mother told her when she wanted to quit cheerleading. You're not very pretty, you don't have boobs, and you can't do a basket toss to save your life, but you made a commitment.
Yeah.
She says, that's just the way it goes.
Yeah, and Pierce, I think that must lodge in his brain. That's just the way it goes. Yeah. Yeah. And he's like, oh, I've got a great song that I
yes.
can play. That's like a total original that I'm going to be ready to try it out.
So we're now on the Greendale, the campus outdoors. Dean unveils the Luis Guzman statue. So in the commentary, Dan Harmon says originally they wanted it to be Mark Hamill. But he politely, he's like, he was the nicest guy about it. He politely declined because he knew that like it would be like the butt of the joke. And he's like, I'm not ready to like have my career be that yet. Yeah, yeah. But Luis Guzman was like totally game.
It wouldn't have been super appropriate, I feel like Mark Hamill, even for Luis Guzman.
Is it too famous?
Yeah, I think that they're both like a little bit too successful. Like they've both made like really interesting, like they've made weird choices, but they've also made some really good, interesting choices.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that like the idea of Luis Guzman having gone to Greendale is pretty funny. And like, I don't, does he ever show up on
the show?
Oh, this
is not the end of this bit.
Great.
Good. It comes back.
Yeah, I think that like he might be the better of those two options for me. I can imagine him being like very game as he's playing this. Whereas with Mark Hamill, I don't know how old he was when he was first cast as Luke Skywalker. He would have been
like 20.
He would have been like 25. So I guess like he would have gone to school at that point. I was going to say, like, would he have even gone to school, or would he have just gone straight into being a Jedi?
Yeah. I just think he's like too famous. I feel like Luis Guzman is like kind of a better
Luis
option.
Luis Guzman is definitely famous, but in a way that I think works in a very funny way here.
Yes.
Like I loved it being Luis Guzman. I think there's like an oversaturation of Mark Hamill in these types of bits. This may be a more recent thing. He was great on What We Do in the Shadows. He had a funny role there. But like, I feel like I don't know that there's a ton of like great Luis Guzman gags in this vein. So I'm glad that this exists. And I just love Luis Guzman.
Yeah.
So having him be part of the community universe makes me happy.
Yeah. He introduces Pierce to play the new school song. Pierce dedicates it to Annie for believing in him. And he sings the song, "That's Just the Way It Is," with his own lyrics, which... Yeah. They're so like standing in the bookstore line waiting for the bell to chime so you can go to class, dancing in your underwear, which why are you doing that on a college campus? Taking air conditioner repair so you can get a job. I just love the slop pails and pantyhose.
Yeah. I love this song. Big Bruce Hornsby guy over here. So happy to see some Bruce Hornsby on Community. It was very random. It was a big like wake up of like, whoa, is that Bruce Hornsby? Why is he playing Bruce Hornsby?
And everybody's kind of surrounding Pierce, like realizing like, oh, yep, he definitely stole that song.
Yeah, he absolutely stole that one too. It was very good. That was very good.
And we're on to the after credits scene of the episode. Abed is stuffing Troy's mouth with pencils. Troy is like, looks like he's like sleeping. I don't know. His eyes are closed. Troy sits up and takes them out of his mouth. Abed says he got 37 and they say best of three. And then Troy is putting pencils in Abed's mouth.
Yeah. Okay. Streets ahead. This is good. I think a consensus streets ahead on this one. Especially cause like there was like sort of the tension of, oh, I thought that they weren't going to mess with each other anymore. And here's Abed like feeding him pencils. You think that he's messing with him, but no, yeah. It just turns out that's, they're just having a good time.
That's a game they play. Casual game of how many pencils can you fit in your mouth?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
So if you're going to play this game, they do erasers. I'm always like, is erasers in the best method or should it be the other end in? Right. Maybe I think too much about this.
No, this is worth asking. There's some safety concerns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
I would say...
Well, I don't think you want the lead in your mouth, I guess, right? So maybe it is erasers in is the better method.
Yeah, I was going to say erasers in for the lead and also for, like, the wood. Because, like, what if your teeth, like, scrape against the wood and then you swallow it or something like
that. Both of them are very dangerous. Neither are advisable. Do not try this at home.
Right.
I think we're just sort of like judging the way in which this went down. I think that like it is harder to read photographically if the pointy ends are sticking out. You know, the eraser and like the color contrast makes you quickly visually connect. This is an ocean of pencils in his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like the cinematography reason, I think. But it's very dangerous both ways. One way you could eat rubber. And I think aside from that being bad, also I imagine the taste is concerning.
Yeah.
But I think that the taste of the front end pencil would also not be great. And also if it's very sharp.
Well, no, they weren't sharpened pencils. They were not sharpened pencils. Okay. So,
yeah.
The sticks in the comments is saying the commitment to the drool is impressive. I did notice some like Hamilton levels of drool coming out of Troy's mouth. After he takes the pencils out. It was pretty gross. Yeah. I watched the episode 3 times and every time I was like, that's pretty nasty.
Yeah.
That was the episode.
That's the episode. I think it's good. I think it's good. I think it's fine. It's just not my favorite so far. I think in my rankings of it, just to get ahead of it a little bit, I think I have it at the same exact level as the pilot. I think that like I actually like it a little bit less than the pilot, except that the Troy and Abed stuff really made me laugh a lot, so it like pushed it to the same level as the pilot.
Okay. Shall we get into some F community feedback?
Yeah, of course. Let's do it.
Okay. So first up from Ethan, he says, although not the case now, at the time, I feel like Ken Jeong and Chevy Chase were two of the bigger stars going into it and therefore likely cast more for the casuals. Do you think this weekly format has led to us being much more casuals compared to typical post-show recap shows and also lends itself to them being less annoying than if we were watching this on a binge?
Interesting. I wonder if that's the case. I don't know. I think that having this be a weekly show for me, and I'm obviously like a huge proponent of the weekly experience. I think I'm spending they're occupying more headroom than they would on a binge, if that makes sense. Because if I'm watching it on a binge, I think they're there while I'm watching the show. And then I'm not going to think about them much afterwards. But since Community right now is like a weekly part of my life, I'm thinking about them a decent amount, with decent frequency. I don't know how that changes things necessarily. It's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do think that he makes a good point about like those two being some of the bigger stars. I don't know. Ken Jeong wasn't as big I don't think, season one of Community as he is now, right? Like, when does The Hangover come out? This comes out 2009.
Hangover's out, I think.
It's out. Okay, so maybe he's a little bit bigger than some of the other people on the show. Yeah, I think that they're less annoying right now, but I also think we're early. I think we're early days. So it's tough for me to really answer. Like, is it because we're watching weekly?
Right.
Or is it because we're still very early and I'm just going to get more frustrated with them as we go?
Yeah, maybe. This is from Av. Av says the top five movies featuring Luis Guzman. Number five is Top Five. Number four is Out of Sight. Number three is Punch Drunk Love, which I've not seen, and I would really like
to. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, I bet I would love it. Two is Magnolia. One is Boogie Nights. So all top three are all P.T. Andersons. PTA.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's called the PTA. PTA meeting. I wouldn't argue, certainly, those top two. Those are both great Luis Guzman roles. I don't know. What does the internet say for, like, top Luis Guzman movies?
I don't think I've seen most of these movies.
Best Luis Guzman movies. He's in Snake Eyes. He's in Snake Eyes with Nicolas Cage.
Oh, my God. Is that going to be another patron Discord moment?
Yes. Yes. Of course.
It's happening now.
Yeah. Well, it's not this moment.
Not right this second.
It will.
It might happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's just like one of those great secret ingredients. Like, you see him show up and a scene could have gone another way. And now it is going to go a very specific way. And it always makes me happy. Always makes me happy to have him on my screen.
Riley had something to say about Britta this episode.
Mm-hmm.
He says, one thing I noticed in this rewatch was how well this episode sets up the character of Britta, both the good version of her in season one and peak version of her in season two, and even some of where she goes in season three. Britta here is a screw up. She wants to do the right thing, but she messes it up. She fundamentally believes she's going to fail, so she sets herself up to fail, which we talked a little bit about. I don't know, though. Like, I feel like Britta makes the turn before she gets into... by the end of season two. I guess we'll see.
Mm, yeah. I'm kind of detecting like a little bit of the turn here in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I think like some of the bad is in this one. I would say that this is a bad Britta episode for me.
Yeah, and I'm wondering too, like, where... when it is that Dan Harmon got that feedback, right? That like, Britta's not likable, make her more likable. I'm just curious as to like when that actually occurs. And so then when we'll see it then reflected in the writing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is from Eric. Eric says, is this the best Jeff so far? He's genuinely trying to be helpful and surprisingly honest.
I would agree with that. If my meow meow bean rating is anything to indicates that.
Yeah, I think like I'm just a little bit sleep on this episode is just my issue. And I think this is a good segue into meow meow beans because I've decided to go relatively low. And I think that I'm having kind of like a, I don't know if this is a big brain meow meow beans moment or not, but I'm having this sort of this feeling, Jess, that with the Meow Meow Beans system in place, we will theoretically be assigning points out to these characters in major ways for a long period of time.
Yes.
And I think that like as long as people are being like sort of like graded on a relative scale, that's okay. So this week I decided to go pretty low because I'm just not like exceptionally blown away by anybody is sort of my feeling on this episode. So nobody goes higher than a 3 for me this week. Is how I've decided to grade it. And I think like maybe that's going to happen on episodes that I feel like are just like a little bit average unless somebody's like really transcendent. I don't think that anyone was super transcendent. The closest was like Abed with all of like the alien stuff was kind of just incredible.
Yeah, I'm surprised you don't have him a little bit higher.
I think part of it is like, I think like it's just like sort of like just like I want to hit the full episode sort of in a consistent way. So I've got Ahmed and Troyer at the top with threes each because they were my favorite storyline of the episode. Then I've got Pierce at 2.5 because he actually really cracked me up with the music stuff this week. Then I've got twos across the board for Annie, Chang, and Jeff. I think it's high on Annie, actually. I think I'd like to change that down to a 1.5. I just don't think that Annie has a ton going on in this episode this week. What? Did I do something wrong?
Nope.
Jess's face.
Am I not allowed to give Annie a 1.5 every once in a while?
I just thought she had a... like a little bit of a better moment than you're giving her.
But I don't know. I mean, she had a funny moment towards the end. That was good. It didn't drive me nuts. I think Chang was funny. I think Ken Jeong was really funny. Jeff is trying to be a good dude this week. That's great. It's just not particularly funny. Britta, I think, is kind of bad this week. I'm giving her a 1. And Shirley is either completely absent or bad this week. I'm giving her 0.5. So harsh grades. It could be worse. I could have failed them all. You know, I could have failed the whole class. Instead, everyone is going to be a 3 or lower this week. This is my Meow Meow Beans. I'm sticking to them.
Go ahead, Navi. You can talk through your thoughts next.
All right. So for me, the Troy and Abed storyline was the best storyline in the episode. I ended up giving them both 4.5s because I just loved, and for what I'm sort of taking into it, I'm also including like performance as well. I thought that both Donald Glover and Danny Pudi had like great chemistry this episode. I love the facial expressions of Glover this episode as well, like the way he does the face and all that, and like the way he's super surprised at like all of Abed's antics, like that like killed it for me. So they both get a 4.5. For Pierce, I gave him a 3. I actually really enjoyed him this episode. I think this is one of the more sympathetic portrayals of Pierce we'll see for a while, if not the entire series. I'm not entirely sure. Jess can probably talk to that a bit better, but I really enjoyed the episode, Pierce of this episode. I love his musical talents, quotation marks. By the way, Josh, I wanted to ask, how do you think Pierce would do in the Wand Off?
I think that he could do okay. He could do okay. I think that he would be an honorable mention this week. I don't think that he would make it into the top 5, though.
You don't think that Greendale would make the top 5?
No, I think it would make it onto the show. I don't think it would make it, and I don't think it would be hat eligible. No. Yeah.
Okay, I see.
Yeah. I don't think so. I think it would make it into the podcast, but it wouldn't be top 5 baby.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. I have Shirley at a 2.5. That's like the average, like straight down the middle. She's not even in the second half of the episode, so like I couldn't justify giving her a higher mark than that. I gave Annie a 3.5, and I don't know, talking with you both, I don't know, I kind of want to change it, but I don't want Jess to get mad at me also. So
no, you can change it.
Okay, I'll do a 3 then, because I did like her speech towards the end with Pierce about the cheerleading and stuffing his bra and going out there and doing the best you can. I gave Chang a 3 as well, just for the one moment where he pulls up his pant leg to show off his leg. That was worthy of a 3 for me. And what did I give Jeff and Britta? Let me just double check here. I gave Jeff a 4 because I think this is one of the more likable episodes of Jeff, even though I personally think he's just trying to score with Britta. I think he had really good lines this episode. We didn't really touch on him too much, but when he was like trying to convince Britta to let him be his legal counsel or be her legal counsel, that was really fun. I like the "she's insane" sort of thing. I like how he performs in the trial or tribunal. I thought that was really good. Good work by Joel McHale. So I gave him a 4. And I gave Britta a 3.5. I also kind of want to change that, talking with you both more about it. Because I do think that it does progress her character and informs what we're about to see later on in the series. But I do agree that the writing was really bad. And you do kind of see those not so great aspects of Britta that become more prevalent in later seasons.
What do you want to change it to, a three?
I'll give her a three. Yeah. On that. Sorry, Jess.
That's okay. We love the behind the scenes spreadsheet work on the fly.
Yes.
Okay.
That's how I do it. It's the only way I know how to ride.
I know.
Yeah.
Okay, so I am up. I am a bit more generous, I think, than Josh in my Meow Meow Beans assessment. I gave both Jeff and Britta 3.5. I thought that they were fine. I liked the Britta backstory, even if it is slightly kind of cobbled together. I do think I want to give Jeff a little bit of credit here. I mean, he doesn't have to represent Britta. He doesn't have to do any of that, frankly. Maybe he is partially in it, but we've seen the last episode. He does have true feelings for Britta, right? So I don't think we can say like, oh, he just wants to get into her pants. I'm not saying he wants a full-blown relationship with her, but there's at least something more there. So I gave him a 3.5. Abed cracked me up. I love him pretending to be an alien. I gave him a 4. I think this is like prime Abed material. He's not quite a 5 Meow Meow Beans, but I think it made me laugh a lot. And so he gets a 4 from me. Troy gets a 3, a bit above average. I thought, you know, I love the your face, it's bad. Like, that was very funny. I mean, honestly, a lot of the times when I'm giving Troy more points than he probably should get, it's mainly because Donald Glover gives him that boost. Donald Glover is too funny to not give extra points towards.
He's very good. He's very, very good this week.
Yeah, he cracks me up. Pierce, I gave a 2. I mean, the music stuff was fine. It was funny. I just think like this is Pierce will get more points from me maybe in the future. I just don't think like this is fine. It was okay. Shirley gets a 2. She's like barely around. And when she is, it's kind of like, like I gave her below average. I don't want to penalize her too much because it's not like she was there and did something horrible. It's just she was like kind of not really there. Annie, I gave a 3. And listen, people can hate on me for my Annie scores, but I don't care. I have to counterbalance this Annie hatred, the Annie erasure that is occurring on this podcast.
You do what you got to do. Work overtime to make sure that Annie gets that top spot on the Meow Meow Beans.
Annie,
I'm not going to stop you on your crusade. I'm just going to keep being honest to myself on the week to week. You do what you got to do, Jess Sterling, if that's what's honest to you.
Annie is not top tier Annie yet. It will happen eventually. I expect to see fives across the board for Annie eventually. We are not there yet. However, the rage in Annie when Chang is about to give everybody zeros, like Bree, like it is Allison Bree, like killed it. Like I love that scene so much. I love her. Like, I mean, no one has time for Pierce. No one wants to spend any time with Pierce, right? She takes the time to be like, you know what, Pierce, I believe in you. I will take a chance on you. I will help you out. She motivates him. And this is the Annie that I love to see. And so I gave her a 3. I'm not even giving her like 5s or anything, people. So I don't want to hear it. You can at me all you want, but I didn't give her a 5. I gave her a 3, a little bit above average. I love Annie.
Yeah.
Chang gets a 2, mostly because of the light. Oh, sorry, Navi, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was about to say, I think we need to stop down and talk about this because she mentioned how she was going to hire a composer to write this song and then Pierce just volunteers. Is the main reason she decided to help him out was that she didn't have to pay him to compose the song?
Can you imagine like Greendale's budget is like fairly limited? So she's probably like, listen, we don't have all the money in the world. Like Pierce could be the best we're going to get. And on top of that, she's helping a friend. I could totally see that being a thing.
Yeah.
Okay, Jess.
Yeah. Look, everyone is entitled to their feelings and their opinions on this television show. We're all at least a little bit crazy if we're here in the community building.
That's a prerequisite.
That's what I learned this week on Community.
Yeah, it's a prerequisite. And right, yeah, so I gave Chang a 2 just because of the piece of leg that we get to see, you know, great moment for Chang.
Yeah. So where are we at with the rankings overall? The character.
So not much movement this week. We still have Chang in 8th, Pierce in 7th, Annie in 6th, which she's tied with Pierce right now, which is a true travesty, if I do say so myself, but there's time for movement. Shirley's in 5th. She's moved down a spot. Jeff has moved up to 4th from 5th. Britta is in third. She lost the spot. Troy's in second, gained over, you know, Britta. And Abed has remained in first. And he has a substantial lead, 54.5. And the next highest is Troy with 48. So Abed's pulling ahead right now.
He's in lead fairly decisively. Navi, your prediction. Will Abed be the top of the mountain when all is said and done on community building with the Miami Impedance?
I do think that he'll remain the leader when all is said and done. I, of course, I'm saying this as a bias because Abed is my favorite character. So, like, what Annie is to Jess, Abed is for me. So I may have skewed it a bit this week in his favor by giving him a 4.5 because I just want him to see him stay at the top of the leaderboard. But yeah, I can totally see him being the top of the leaderboard when community building is over in like 10 years or whenever it's done.
Yeah, I think it'll be less than 10 years. I think it's probably we're looking at like a year and a half minimum. Could be like a 3-year max. I think like that's the spread is like a 1.5 to 3.
Yeah.
Probably somewhere in the middle of that.
I wouldn't be surprised to see Abed at the very least the top like 3. Like that's definitely he'll finish in the top 3. I don't know that he'll finish first. And I think it's also like how we end up finishing the podcast as well. If we're doing full blown 4, 5, and 6, you know, episode recaps.
Right.
It'll change things, in my opinion. Okay. But yeah, Abed has a substantial lead for now, and Chang is very far behind with 24 points. So I imagine he will stay in that spot for a while.
We shall see. Dean's list. I'm putting the Dean on the Dean's list finally. He was just great this week. The strike that from the record was funny. His announcements today really made me laugh quite a bit. I briefly thought about Garrett because of how he backwalks out of the room was really funny to me. But I went with the Dean ultimately.
Yeah, I knew you and Navi would have the Dean covered. So I went a little bit off the board here. I cannot tell you how much I cracked up at Leonard. Busted. Like, Leonard is iconic. And the fact that he starts off his journey on community naked in an Olympic sized pool, saying the word busted on like holding on to like a boogie board. I mean, I had to give it to Leonard. It also apparently they had to do this take with the actor who plays Leonard like 16 times and they'd have to have people go. He's like an old dude and they'd have to have people go out there with him and like leave him. And like Gillian Jacobs was saying that like he was like nearly like sinking into the water on every take, which also cracked me up. So yeah. I gave my point to Leonard.
Yeah, I think that that's fair. I think that that's fair.
So currently Dean is in first place with 5 points.
He's going to win. He's going to win the Dean's list. I really do think so. Sight unseen on anything else. Like I don't know how Dean doesn't just take his own list. Navi, do you think that the Dean is the best side character of season one?
Oh, 100%. I 100% think that Dean is the best character, side character in the first season. And I honestly think that he's probably the best character in like the later seasons as well. I think he's just a great character. I think Jim Rash does a great job portraying him. So yeah, I wouldn't be upset if Dean ended up taking the Dean's list for the series. So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Getting into our episode ratings. Again, we kind of talked about this. I thought it was kind of a meh episode. I ended up rating it a 2.6. Which for me, the only episode that falls lower than that was Spanish 101. It's fine. The main story, the line that made me laugh was like the Troy and Abed one. Beyond that, it's kind of okay. It's not a bad episode, but it's also not a great episode. So that's where I landed.
Yeah, I gave it the 2.5. I think I articulated it. Like, I think that it's, for me, a little bit worse than the pilot, but also probably has like a couple of funnier things that put it right at that pilot level for me.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let's stop down here. So I initially gave the episode a 3.3 out of 4 cools. Talking with you both, I can see it being lowered, but I don't think it's as bad as, say, the pilot or even the second episode. I think there's a lot to really appreciate in the episode. Like I said, the writing itself in terms of the plotting was like probably not the best, but I think the dialogue was really great. Like I said before, Jeff had some really great lines, obviously with Abed and Troy, there were really great lines. I think Chang had really great lines aside from like, you know, when he was calling everyone like Jack Gay and Kumar and all that. So I could be talked into giving it a lower score. Actually, you know what? I'll give the episode a 3, I guess, as opposed to a 3.3.
We're putting it down.
Sorry, Chang.
That's okay.
To a 3.
Working with Josh has gotten me used to amending things on the fly.
Yeah. You're putting it down to a 3. That's giving this an average of, because the audience gave it a 2.85.
Mm-hmm.
So higher than both Jess and I. Current average, it's a 2.74. So it's right in the middle of the road of the 5 episodes of Community thus far. Top of the line is Social Psychology, then Introduction to Film, then Advanced Criminal Law, then the pilot, then Spanish 101. Yep. Is where we currently stand.
And all these things can move around because you can still send in your episode ratings up until the end of season 1. So feel free, if you have a backlog, you want to send them in, community@postshowrecaps.com, send those in. We can get that updated. Yes.
So next week, what do we have going on?
We are up to season 1, episode 6, Football, Feminism, and You. Really excited about, we have 2 guests next week. We've gotten so much support from just the community at large. So we thought, why not invite on 2 other people who are obsessed with Community? We are definitely on the Jess end of the spectrum, not the Josh end of the spectrum next week. We are having Jen from the Community Rewatch podcast and Matt, who is the man behind the Communies Twitter
account. We'll find out next week, but I'm really excited because they are incredible Community social media friends of this podcast, huge leaders in the space too. So I think like one of the things we can do in addition to talking about the episode, which I imagine is an episode you're excited about, otherwise you wouldn't have brought them on for this one.
Absolutely.
Is that we can get into like the culture of Community now, like both like what it was and what it currently is. Like that's exciting to me. I'm really eager to like kind of like get into that conversation with people who are really steeped in the space. So
yes, especially because Jen is also a huge Annie stan.
Awesome.
We have declared ourselves the Stannies. So okay. I will have backup next week.
That's great. That's
coming
fantastic.
In with the big guns.
That's fantastic. Okay. Well, so we want your feedback. We're going to need that by March 12th, the day after my birthday. So this is a reminder, March 11th. You got to remember to wish me a happy birthday.
And Winston's birthday too.
Yeah. And you got to remember to wish Winston a happy birthday. Because if you forget, we'll know, you know, we'll remember. We will know who forgot. Mm-hmm. We're keeping a list. A
lot of legendary birthdays, a lot of legendary Pisces.
Yeah.
Sarah, my co-host, is also, her birthday's on the 9th.
Okay,
so.
And that's when my father-in-law's birthday is, so there that's very special. So send my father-in-law a happy birthday on March 9th, as well as Jess's Shit 90s Shows Taught Me co-host, Sarah Ferguson. I am March 11th, that's when you want to wish me a happy birthday. Navi, when's your birthday?
May 2nd.
Okay, so it's coming up!
Yeah!
It's coming up. Jess, are you coming up soon?
Not until August.
Okay, so we got time. Mm-hmm. We got time. But you're running swiftly out of time to wish me a happy birthday. So send that in, community@postshowrecaps.com, along with your community feedback, of course. Mm-hmm. Your ratings, your reviews, all of that stuff, your subscriptions. We want all of it. You can do that. We're on your podcatcher of choice, Community Building is. So come and find us. Seek us out. So many shows happening on Post Show Recaps, whether it's Down the Hatch, Long Time to Go. We're going to come back this month with some Clone Wars coverage. Jess Lease and Chappelle, they're talking Walking Dead, The Bloom Files, WandaVision's wrapping up. It's actually wrapped up, depending on when you're listening to this podcast. And so much more, including the Final Fantasy podcast. Navi and I were nerding out about Final Fantasy before this very podcast began. And I'm sure that we shall nerd out about it again once this podcast is over. Brooklyn Zed and I are, as you are listening to this podcast in the main feed, we're recording our final Final Fantasy VII podcast that very night, Tuesday night. So a little bit of time to get your feedback in on that front, should you wish to weigh in on the ending of that video game. And then we'll start figuring out what we're going to do next over there. Plus all the patron shows, so much patron content, patreon.com/postshowrecaps. Navi, where can people find you online? Where can people track you down to have more fun times and great conversations?
All right. Well, you can follow me on Twitter at @cuzimnavi. I'm also somehow doing a podcast now too, regularly on a weekly basis. It's What You Doing, a Phineas and Ferb rewatch podcast. Last week we had a great guest, Naomi Calhoun of the Mike White Was Robbed podcast and the Live Reality Games podcast. And she's also, I believe, a producer of Survivor New York, which is starting up soon. I believe season four is starting up soon. So yeah, it was a great conversation. I do that podcast along with Felipe Shimon, who was on the most recent episode of Hang In There, and Davis Kama Will, Wandoff winner. He won a Wandoff?
Yes.
He is one of them. He's one of those. One of us. Navi, would you be surprised to know that I've never seen Phineas and Ferb, and in fact could not really tell you what it is other than I know it's a cartoon?
No, I'm not super surprised, to be honest.
I think I missed it.
I think you're a little bit too old for when it came out. No offense. Yeah.
No, none taken. I think you're right.
Mm-hmm. Because I didn't watch it either, so that's how I know.
I think I'm an old.
If I'm too old, you're too old.
I think I'm an old.
Same.
And only getting older because my birthday is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
March 11th. Don't forget. Just remember, I'd like to hear from you. All of you out there. Well, that's awesome. Jess, what's happening on the 90s show?
So we are very excited because it's bracket season. It is March. It is a month that starts with the letter M. So naturally, it is Mary-Kate and Ashley month for March on Shit 90s Shows Tommy.
That's amazing.
We are doing a full-on bracket of Mary-Kate and Ashley movies with TikTok Nicole. If you're listening to this and you're a patron, we are recording it tomorrow. So if you want to send in your brackets, shit90spod@gmail.com, where we're going to be discussing what the best Mary-Kate and Ashley movie is. So excited. I've watched way too much Mary-Kate and Ashley over the past couple of weeks. But can you really watch too much, honestly? So get your brackets in. Super excited to talk about that. We'll have more content coming out soon. Of course, we're still talking Dawson's Creek and Boy Meets World, as always. We're starting to get into the Pacey Joey stuff. So prime time to jump on board for Dawson's Creek because Pacey is fantastic and we love
him. That's great. So check out Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. Stay tuned for more post show recaps. And until next time, everybody, as we like to say, Corey B, take it away.
This is a show about a team that started to grow a community. Wiggler and Jazz, here till it ends. Meet up to Pastor Fail Greendale with all of our friends. The brightest timeline's here to shine away. Community building is here to